KTLO is proud to bring you the second political forum today, this one concerning the school millage, brought to you by your local H&R Block offices. This forum is being broadcast live on KTLO FM 97.9 and streaming on KTLO.com, and will be available in its entirety at KTLO.com following this broadcast. When we decided to host this forum, we first reached out to Dr. Jake Long, Superintendent of Mountain Home Public Schools, to represent a panel in favor of the millage proposal. Joining him today is School Board Member Mrs. Lisa House and Community Representative Mr. Mike Stockton. Next, we reached out to Mr. Chris Chamberlain. He represents a panel of concerned citizens and has invited Mr. Mark Housen and Mrs. Melissa Klinger to join him. All questions being asked today have been submitted to KTLO. You may submit questions in real time on KTLO's Facebook page. There's no way we'll get to every question submitted, but we'll do our best to keep this moving forward. I want our listeners to know we met Friday at KTLO with Dr. Jake Long, Mr. Mark Housen, and Mr. Chamberlain joined us via phone. We do have time limits on some of the questions. If I do have to ask you to move along, please know it is only in the interest of trying to get to as many community questions as possible. Before we start, I would like to read the ballot proposal as it will appear. Mountain Home School District Number 9. To submit the question of voting a total tax rate of 34.41 mils on the dollar of the assessed value of the taxable property located in the district. The proposed tax includes the uniform rate of tax to be collected on all taxable property in the state and remitted to the state treasurer pursuant to Amendment Number 74 to the Arkansas Constitution to be used solely for maintenance and operation of schools in the state. As provided in Amendment 74, the statewide uniform rate replaces a portion of the existing rate of tax levied by the district and available for maintenance and operations of schools in the district. The total proposed tax levy of 34.41 mils includes 25.29 mils specifically voted for general maintenance and operation, 6.87 mils voted for debt service previously voted as a continuing levy pledge for the retirement of existing bond indebtedness, and 2.25 new debt service mills. The 2.25 new debt service mills plus the existing 6.87 debt service mills now pledged for the retirement of existing bonded indebtedness, which debt service mills will continue after retirement of the bonds to which now pledged, will be a continuing debt service tax of the retirement of proposed bonds to be issued in the principal amount of $55,530,000, and which will mature over a period of 30 years and will be issued for the purpose of erecting and equipping new school facilities and making additions and improvements to existing facilities. While the existing indebtedness is outstanding, the surplus revenues produced each year by the existing 6.87 debt service mills may be used by the school district for other school purposes. After the existing indebtedness is retired, the surplus revenue produced each year by the existing 6.87 debt service mills may be used by the district first for the scheduled payment of principal of and interest on the bonds and second for the maintenance of and improvements to school facilities. The surplus revenues produced each year by the new 2.25 debt service mills may be used by the district, first for the scheduled payment of principal of and interest on the bonds, and second, for the maintenance of and improvements to school facilities. The total proposed school tax levy of 34.41 mills represents an increase of 2.25 mills from the state being presently being levied. And now, with 1 minute opening statements, I will start with Ms. Lisa House.
Thank you, Heather and KTLO, for hosting us today. I look forward to talking to you today about upcoming ballot measure and why it is so important. Ultimately, this is a plan for the future of our great community, the one that I have called home for over 47 years. This plan allows us to address the serious facility needs at the high school. It isn't a plan that will kick the can down the road or put a Band-Aid on the needs. It addresses them head-on and allows us to better teach and serve today's students, and will help us address potential future growth. This plan addresses school safety, our concerns, and allows us to continue to grow our pathways, programming to develop a skilled workforce for our wonderful community. I don't think anyone enjoys paying taxes, but I think everyone in this community has enjoyed the benefits of having a wonderful, fantastic school district here. And everyone, whether you're new to the town or a native, please must continue to invest in the future.
Mr. Chris Chamberlain.
Thank you. While I fully recognize the importance of education and its critical role in shaping our children's futures, I believe that this millage is not the right solution for our community. First and foremost, this millage places an undue financial burden on families already struggling to make ends meet in this current economic climate. It's not fair to ask them to shoulder an even greater financial burden. Furthermore, the school board has given us a false choice dilemma. It's this massive solution or nothing, but that's not true. Few, if any, other alternative solutions, such as the $7 million proposal by the state, were even considered. It is imperative that we explore all options before burdening our community with yet another tax. I therefore urge the taxpayers to reject this plan and force the school board to find a reasonable solution. Vote no, demand better.
Dr. Long, how did we get to this point with the high school? If it has been a problem for so long, why did the conversation just start the last couple of years?
Well, really, the conversation didn't just start the last couple of years. That's whenever we began opening it up, to the public. Of course, I can remember whenever I first hired in the district, Mike Walker, who was a long-term employee and director of operation in the school district, taking me up to the big top, and you're standing on top of the old gym, and you look out there, and he said, I don't know what you'll ever do about this. And he says, I'm going to retire before this is addressed, but you're going to have to deal with it. And so, really, the conversations and head-scratching began, years ago. Whenever we really began to see how much the roofing system was failing and water was coming into that system, that really kind of created the impetus to, look for potential solutions. And so those solutions started with, how can we renovate this? How can we address it from just replacing what's on the inside? Then in 2021, the particular renovation project was included in our facility master plan. At that time, we were just coming out of COVID, and so I hosted a number of walk-in Wednesdays and community events to, start talking about that particular project. And then, of course, we went to the voters in August with the proposal, and then, we're back here today.
For those against, you have been adamant in opposition of this tax since day one. What concerns you most about this proposed tax?
Well, first and foremost, we're against this tax for a number of different reasons. I think the thing that concerns me the most is that I don't think alternative plans were adequately considered. I don't think that the state's plan was adequately considered. It seems to me that there was a one-size project that was designed last year in 2022. And instead of coming back and modifying that plan and listening to what the people had to say, listening to their concerns, they came back with functionally the same plan, only now it cost more, and it's less square footage. I don't think the taxpayers of this district are ready to pay for that. I think they said loud and clear, we want less. And I don't think the school board delivered.
In that regard, explain to us what the state will do if the millage does not pass. Literature has been shared the state can make repairs for $7 million, and the state would pay up to 40% of that cost. Where did these numbers come from? Is this true?
I'm unaware of any plan in which can resolve the issue for $7 million.
When the state did their assessment, they determined that only 37,440 square feet of the building needed to be rebuilt after the big top was demolished. And that number comes from their estimate at a $200 cost factor for 37,440 square feet. But the state has also said that they would adjust their cost factor as needed. So that it actually came to 7.9 million was what the state had estimated. But that could increase based on the state's cost factor. And that was to address the minimum requirements that the state had identified.
Thank you, Mrs. Klinger. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and say names so people on the radio know who's speaking here. Let's move on. In regards to the ballot language in question, Mr. Chamberlain, what are you most concerned will happen with any surplus funds?
I'm concerned that I don't know where it will go. I'm not sure. One of the problems that we had with the millage last year was people claimed that the millage language created what they called a slush fund. And they did adjust the language in this one, but it is still a may and not a shall. And so I am concerned that this money, particularly as property values increases, this money may not go where it needs to go.
For the four panel, have other avenues of raising revenue been explored? Has the school budget been reviewed to see if the cost cutting in other areas could save revenue?
So, if I could.
Mr. Mike Stockton.
There's a couple of things. Number one, the slush fund that Chris was referring to is about a $1.8 million slush fund that's a set aside, quote unquote. You know, people every day live from paycheck to paycheck, and it's not a good thing. We want people to save some money back for the rainy day. We want them to have the ability to address needs as they come up. And if there's an interruption in income, we want them to be able to carry on operations. So that $1.8 million, quote unquote, slush fund is set aside so that we can do capital improvements, or not capital improvements, excuse me, capital repairs, number one. Should something break, like if your transmission fell out of your car, it's always nice to have a little bit of money set on the side.
Mr. Stockton, I asked, have other avenues of raising revenue been explored?
So I'll answer that one. Number one, the revenue that is set, you know, for the district is defined to federal, state, and local taxes. Then in turn, it is generated off of a formula of a per student revenue. So the revenue to exist is very much defined by our local tax base and our per student in the number of students that we are serving. And so raising revenue is, from a district standpoint, is very much defined. Now, in turn, the community has supported our schools in a number of ways through foundations. We have the Ballmer Booster Foundation that has a sole mission of improving its athletic facilities. We have the Mount Ohm Education Foundation, whose purpose is to provide additional educational opportunities. And so those two things are ways in which additional revenue has been generated.
For the against panel, in the Arkansas legislature, the first item of business each session is to fund our public schools. How do you propose we fund the schools if you're against taxes?
Well, I'm not against all taxes. The problem with this millage is that it's so great. We have a state proposal that would have been $10 million, not $8 million. Obviously, it would have gone up a little bit as the per square foot cost increase. No, I just completely lost my train of thought.
That's okay. It happens. It happens.
Look, it's the amount of money that we're talking about here. Uh-huh. I promise you, if the school board had come back with a $20 or $30 million millage, we would not be having this debate. Mm-hmm. It's about the size. It's a bloated proposal. We told them last time, this is too much money. They came back with more money. We all understand everything under the big top must come down. We all understand that. We have to solve that problem. That does not equate to a new school. It equates to a new building. That has to be addressed. It could have been addressed for a lot more, even if it was double the state's proposal, at $14 million or $20 million or $30 million. That could have been done. That probably would have passed. We probably would not be having that discussion now.
Yes, sir.
Can I address the state's proposal?
Yes, sir.
Because it's been mentioned a couple different times. Number one, the state's proposal is based off of a feasibility study that for the number of students that we're serving, 10 through 12. Part of that proposal encompasses all of the academic square footage that is currently at the high school as well. Okay, so while the space under the big top is approximately 80,000 square feet, there's 27 classrooms, there's a cafeteria, there's a kitchen also under that with a number of other options. To build back practicality, to be practical in building back
what is being replaced under the big top for $7 or even $10 million is not feasible underneath in getting back that essential functions that are under the big top.
Let's move on. Sorry. What does our current millage go towards? Where does Mountain Home Public Schools compare statewide in regards to millage rates?
So I'd like to answer that if I could. In the state of Arkansas, there are 235 districts in the state. There are currently 10 that have less millage rates than what we do. Even with the increase, there will be approximately 20 schools that have a millage less than ours. Including, if you actually look at the 13-county area, there are 40 different school districts inside of there. The average millage rate there is 37 and a quarter. So our district, even with the increase, will be less than that. Shockingly, if you start looking at the top 20 school districts, and you eliminate Little Rock, because Little Rock's a little bit different thing, but you got to compare like sizes to like sizes. When you look at that, the unrestricted revenue that comes into the school district of Mountain Home ranks number 20. There are 19 other schools that have higher. The average millage of those top 20 school districts, size-wise, that compare to Mountain Home, is 40. We're proposing a 34. So when we say we're overspending, we carry less debt than almost all the other schools. We are well below the average of $63 million in debt that's carried versus $33 million here. It is farcical to claim that we are carrying way too much debt and that we are asking for too much.
For the concerned citizens here today, have any of you visited or taken a tour of the Big Top? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
All three of you?
Twice.
Have you spent any time volunteering in our schools and meeting with teachers, talking about students, about their educational experiences?
No.
Mrs. Klinger?
Yes, I was involved with my daughter graduated in 2022, and all throughout her experience as a student, I was an involved parent, volunteered every possibility, every time I could, outside of my work hours, to be there and to get to know her teachers and to help with her activities in the school.
Mr. Housen.
I have not been involved here. However, I am a retired professional educator. I have literally taught kindergarten through graduate level at the university. So I'm pretty familiar with what goes on with education.
Okay. For the panel four, we have been given a deadline by the state to pass this millage increase. What are the short and long-term consequences if we don't?
Well, right now they are, part of our plan is allowing us to go back to the voters for a second attempt. Following that, pending, obviously, if it passes, then we'll be able to implement the master plan that we do have. If it does fail, we will have to submit some sort of operational plan, following that up. And so, we'll really have to have some tough conversations of what happens if this does not pass.
For the panel against, some anti-millage supporters have suggested the school cut programming such as athletics, band, robotics. How much revenue would you estimate to be realized if the Mountain Home Public Schools cut all extracurricular activities? In turn, how would that affect the students' educational success?
That's not been a question we've investigated. I don't know if anybody realistically wants to remove any of those programs. Do you have something, Melissa?
I have never advocated for that.
I don't think anybody wants that.
Four, if the millage does not pass, do you have a plan moving forward to keep students safe in a compromised building? Will programming be cut?
So as far as keeping students safe, the greatest safety challenge that exists on that campus lies within securing the campus. There are over 40 doors on the entire campus that do require additional lock and key. We have, however, began the process of replacing as many of those doors as we possibly can through electronic access. And then only, of course, if the millage does pass, the the area of the school that will be demoed. There are over 20 external doors there. If we come back with the facility that is being proposed, that cuts that down to about 10. And then, of course, all new school and construction does, you know, standard operating procedure is electronic access, in which, you know, will be included. And so those items are already in motion there, but our greatest concern there is securing that facility.
The second part of that question was, will programming be cut?
Well, you know, I think that that's something that the board will have to look at. Whenever you talk about programming, you know, Mountain Home Public Schools is a special place because of how much that they have to offer their kids. I think that there will definitely have to be some look at making sure that we are maximizing our efficiencies with staffing. The majority of our costs are personnel related. And so looking at our scheduling, looking at our staffing, and making sure that we are maximizing all those opportunities, I believe would come before any kind of programming would have to occur.
For the other side, it seems that no matter how hard this administration tries to answer your questions and resolve issues the opposition brings up, you find new ways to be against this millage. What would it take to compromise and get a yes vote from you, or are you merely a no vote in order to play the role of anti-government obstructionist?
I think that's a loaded question. There are lots of questions that we have asked, very legitimate questions that we've been unable to get answers to. I know these two, and if either one of you want to speak to it, they've had to resort to using the Freedom of Information Act to get basic questions that should have been answered. So we're not obstructionists. We know we need this building to be replaced. We're questioning how they're going about it, why they're doing it this way, why they're not giving more options to the voters other than this one option over and over again.
You have to restate the question for me.
Well, it was submitted, so I want you to know that. It seems that no matter how hard the administration tries to answer your questions and resolve issues the opposition brings up, you find new ways to be against the millage. What would it take to compromise and get a yes vote from you, or are you merely a no vote in order to play the role of anti-government obstructionist?
I think Chris already addressed it. I think that we've had a lot of resistance to getting the information and the truth out into the public. I don't believe the public has received all the information they need to make an informed decision. I have never advocated for the school having them what they have. I've been in debates where I've said they need that second gym. I feel like they've missed an opportunity to really look at what they could do to replace the big top, which is about 80,000 square feet, by building a brand new 80,000 square feet or maybe a little bigger right there on that same campus. It would be a better use of taxpayer money. It would not require the removal of good space. And they actually already have the funds pretty much accessible to make that kind of a construction possible.
As a point of clarification, if that plan were to be followed, would the ninth graders be able to move down the hill?
No.
No.
Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Housen.
Very possibly, if you look at the current space the ninth graders are using, mix it with what the state has said is the requirements, not counting the gym, very possibly, because the ninth graders are equivalent to about 12 classrooms today, if I made that count right down at the middle school. If they went and built another 80,000 square foot, each classroom is 850 square foot by state standards per 30 students. The new 80,000, if we just pick that number, replacing it could be reconfigured and probably bring the ninth grade up to do that. It just depends on how the reconfigurations go and stuff like that. It just has not been considered, and so we don't really know if that's exactly possible.
I know. I'm going to let Mr. Stockton follow up, and then we're going to move to the next question.
Yeah, the school has been extremely open with their information. You know, as a matter of law, they could charge $1 a page for every FOIA request that comes in. They've not charged anybody for anything there. As a matter of law, they could allow those people to come in and make copies on their own. Instead, the school, at great expense, has responded to each FOIA request. And it's interesting, for people who have not visited the schools, we used to say management by spreadsheet, where people would look at headcount and they would look at a number of leaders and they'd say, this is the right answer. But for folks who've not actually been in the building, to take a stance on what the size of those classrooms should be and how those should be constructed is astounding.
I'm going to move on. For the four panel.
In the building.
Okay. That is fair. They have said that they all three have been in the building.
In the ninth grade.
In the ninth grade. Okay. I'm moving on. Many have challenged the language of the ballot proposal for school purposes. What happens to the money after the school is paid for?
So in 30 years, both the 6.87, if approved by the voters on at the end of the day on May 9th, 30 years, the 6.87 will fall off. The 2.25 will fall off. And so unless, of course, a measure is put before the people to extend those. And so that will fall off either at 30 years, so that'd be 2053, or the payment of the debt is completed before that.
Again, for the four panel, how can one honestly say that the building cost will be $50 million when the estimates provided were during the time that we had supply chain issues and costs were at an all-time high? It does not appear that there have been many changes to the proposal, and board members aren't willing to compromise. This should not be an all-or-nothing proposal.
So the thing that I would say there is that you have 160,000 square feet, okay, of footage that has to be occurred. So our construction manager has identified a potential budget of $300 to $375 per square foot. Mind you, as Ms. Klinger has already reported, the state is willing to pay $200 of that as far as their partnership. We don't know. First of all, we don't even know for sure if the state is going to fund the project. We know it's an approved project, but the funding has not been, totally determined, and we should find that out sometime in the next couple weeks. Help me out with the rest of your question.
It was pretty long.
No.
I'm going to repeat the whole question.
Okay.
How can one honestly say that the building cost will still be $50 million when the estimates provided were during the time we had supply chain issues and costs were at an all-time high? It doesn't appear that there have been any changes to the proposal, and board members are not willing to compromise. This should not be an all-or-nothing proposal. I think Mr. Chamberlain has echoed those same words.
So I'll let Ms. House respond as far as board all-or-nothing. But the thing that I would say as far as the design and the footprint itself, that is what is pretty much set in stone. As far as building materials, I think the board is going to have to look at what is the most efficient way to construct this out of what materials. Right now it is a rectangular structure that is of masonry, metal steel, and there are some wood construction as well.
As a board member, I think we can sit at the table and look at the plans. There are things that we can discuss and talk about and remove, maybe think about the wood, the glass. We'd need safety. That's very important. But I think that we could come to some sort of a better agreement on shaving some things off, maybe. If this doesn't pass, we're going to have to, we have a whole table full of questions we're going to have to answer quickly, because this is a time constraint. We are no longer on another week and just keep on going for two more years. We have to figure something out quickly and efficiently.
Can I address something real
quick? Yes, sir, quickly.
Okay, so here's the thing. We don't have to do everything that's in that proposal, right? We can start removing pieces. We don't have to move the ninth grade down. That doesn't have to occur, right? It's this, they keep trying to shove this one solution at us. When we talk about compromise, let me finish. When we talk about compromise, let's start taking pieces out of that proposal. Maybe we don't move the ninth grade right now, right? This is the wrong time to do that. When we talk about compromise, we talk about let's look at the whole thing, right? They came back with more money for less square footage this time around.
Because
how about a $20 or $30 million proposal? Maybe they leave ninth grade for now. Address that down the road.
We can't change anything now. It is, the bond has been written. We either vote for it now and it fails, and then we have a large problem on our hands.
I'd like to move on, please. For the against the millage side, do you have any experience or expertise in building schools? Any experience or expertise in maintaining schools?
I'm not a biologist, but I can tell you what a woman is. I don't need experience. I'm capable. We are capable of reading the data. We're capable of understanding the language. This is one of those loaded questions. Kind of like I said, if you're not a biologist, you can't define a woman, right? This is a nonsense question.
I'll address that. I'm obviously not an engineer and architect, but I did work for the architectural firm for several years that designed the Big Top, the gymnasium in Dunbar, and I also worked there while they were finishing up the renovation at Pinkston. So a lot of my understanding, too, comes from working within the architectural firm that helped design these buildings.
For the other side, are renovations broken down into needs and wants? Example, we need a new roof, but we would like new curtains in the auditorium.
Understand that. Part of the reason why, you know, the similar plan was brought forward again is because we really do believe that it is the best possible plan to address the issue. We're not saying at all that is the only plan to address the Big Top structure. But whenever you start considering continuity of operations, being able to have school as fluently as you can, whenever you think about the additional programming that our school needs when it comes to ROTC, bomb squad, and then preparing for future growth, when you talk about the current situation with ninth grade coming down the hill, you know, that's an issue. And so the same plan was brought forward again because we do believe it is the best plan to not just singularly address the Big Top issue, but also incorporate all of those other things. It also secures that campus. You know, any plan, any facility built on that campus is only going to continue to spread it out, which does not unite or unify the campus.
Right now, we have control of budget expenditures to improve the quality of the facilities for education of our children. If the current structural deficiencies, safety threats, and security issues are not fixed with funds from this millage election, they may be fixed with forced takeover by the state, and our ability to participate in the spending of our tax dollars will be lost. If the state comes in and directs our millage be increased to the state minimum, it will be much greater than a 2.25 increase of our current millage. If you are concerned about the results of funds managed by our representatives of the school board, how does your position work to improve it when control of such funds will be ceded to the state of Arkansas?
Ms. Klinger. Dr. Long himself has said that the likelihood of state takeover is very minimal. If this fails, the school has an option to revisit other means of financing through his a second lien on the current bond, current building fund, in partnership with the state, give or take the cost factor they use. The school could have anywhere from $23 to $25 million available right away.
Would you like to respond?
The only thing that I would say there is that that would result in a cut of programming and staffing because a second lien bond is, you know, that's like taking out a second mortgage on your house. That is not a fiscal practice that any school district wants to get into, especially whenever, you know, many of those things that we all love about our school system are those opportunities for kids, those opportunities that lie within the pathways, within our workforce development. Those are not requirements of the state. Those are what has made Mountain Home Public Schools such a special place. And so taking out a second, while there is some bonding capacity within the second lien bonds, that would most definitely result in a cut of operational expenditures.
A follow-up for Mrs. Klinger.
When Dr. Long discussed this option at the board meeting on January 5th, he said that it would be doable because of their excess revenue from the current bond from Hackler. He said it would require the district to tighten their purse strings a little bit. But everyone else is having to tighten their purse strings.
It's more than just tighten your purse strings.
Tighten your purse strings
in this context means we're firing teachers. Let's be clear.
No, that's a threat that's being used.
No, it means that you don't get to, when you have a $26 million budget for salaries and benefits out of $33 million, please tell me where else you're going to get that money from. You're going to fire teachers. Let's be clear.
Bob Chester has said, and he's even called it, a $1.8 million slush fund.
There's no such thing as a slush fund.
How many days worth of revenue is that? How many days of revenue is that for the
school? Folks, I'm going to move on, please.
For the less than 100.
Mr. Stockton, please. For the four panel, can you help explain the difference between city sales tax versus the increase of millage that is being asked? Does the city of Mountain Home provide any funds to the school district? I have seen several comments saying the city should be contributing with the excess in the sales tax funds.
No.
For the against panel, excuse me, for the concerned citizens panel. I'm trying. Some have stated the proposal for the new high school is fluff. Do you believe that asking for working outlets and restrooms facilities is fluff? Would you make that statement if it was your home or another facility? Please explain what fluff you see with the proposed millage.
I'm going to let Melissa address fluff.
Okay. Obviously, those items are not fluff, and those identified deficiencies are within the big top. And I agree fully, the big top needs to be replaced. I've never advocated for anything less than that. The fluff is in the excess of tearing down over 30,000 square feet of structure that is sound and is in good shape, and the state has said they would not partner on demolishing that good building.
You're talking about the library part of the...
Yes, the center part of the library structure. Additional fluff is the excess size of what they're adding on. The state identified what they need as a bare minimum. I'm not advocating for the bare minimum, but I think it's important to understand what the bare minimum is so that anything we add to that, taxpayers know exactly what they're paying for. So the additional fluff is in the size of the building. It's already oversized, and if the big top was removed, the state would only help rebuild 37,440 square feet, because according to them, that's the size that our district needs.
Is that fair to our children and our district to build just the minimum?
I said I don't advocate for the minimum.
Uh-huh, okay.
I said that.
But that's where this has all started.
No.
And that's where it's all going.
No, it's
that
not.
We want the bare minimum. We don't want to look for the future.
I have never advocated for the bare minimum. I think the taxpayers need to know what the bare minimum is so that they know what they're being asked to pay for in addition to that.
So don't grow for the future.
The states say we're not growing.
We're not. Okay, wait until we get consolidated schools.
Dr. Long said that when Hackler was built, it was built with projected district enrollment of 5,000, so we're not even there yet. So the district has more space than it needs for the current student population.
Have you walked through Hackler lately?
Yes, I've been in Hackler.
It's busy.
Mm-hmm.
With the recent increase in taxes from reassessment, the school will be getting a substantial increase in funding over the next 3 years. Has this number been factored into the cost of the new building? How much have collected dollars increased over the last 4 years for schools with the increase in property values?
Well, really, we haven't seen the revenue off of the significant reassessment come in yet. But the projection for the $55 million bond did take into account at that time of what we thought that the assessment would be. So being able to secure a bond did take in consideration the increase in overall assessments, but we have not fully recovered or have not collected revenue off of the 6.87 on that.
If the millage is unsuccessful, what specifically is your plan to address the more than 30 exterior exits that presently exist at Mountain Home High School? Mr. Housen?
As Dr. Long said in this interview already, it's already being addressed. They've already got the locking systems in. They received a grant for it. That security elements that are needed are already in flight to address the problem.
How much would 2.25 mils generate over the next decade? Would excess revenue go into the general fund?
So if you look at the ballot language, and really we heard the public and their issue on this last fall, and we did our very best to address that through the bond attorneys in a way. And, of course, you know, it has been pointed out that the statements of may versus shall are in there. That was and no intention that was built in, you know, by the district. But we were precedent setting in changing the ballot language to be very specific to the repayment of the debt or the maintenance and upkeep of the current. So the 2.25 would go immediately, if approved, to the repayment of the debt, and then anything that is built off that over time as assessments do increase would be required for us to show how that is being utilized for maintenance and operations purposes.
For the typical taxpayer in the district, passing the millage will result in an increased expense about the cost of a cup of coffee. Is that true?
No.
What are the numbers then, sir?
Oh, I don't know. You have a number?
Well, if it's not true, so what are the numbers?
You need to tell us why you say no.
I say no because there's not just what they're going to pay on their tax bill, right? It's not just their assessment on their tax bill. It's going to be when business owners raise their prices, when landlords raise their rents because their property taxes are increasing. This gets passed down. It's one of the great fallacies that this only affects people who own property. It does not only affect people who own property. It affects everybody.
Heather, if I can respond.
Quickly, sir.
One of the things that, you know, we can talk with exact numbers. So I went to arcountydata.com, pulled how much it's going to impact me on my property tax. So for me, it's going to cost me about $15 to $18. For Mr. Housen, it's going to cost him about $7 a month. For Ms. Klinger, it's going to cost her about $5 a month. For Ms. House, it's going to cost her somewhere around $12 a month. Heather, I hate to tell you this, you're the big loser at the table. It's going to cost you the most of all of us. Now, for Dr. Long, he was renting an apartment here in town, and he's leaving, so it's not going to impact him. But for everybody at the table, except for Chris, we're all going to have an increase in property tax. And for all of the landlords that I know, I don't know anybody who's going to raise their rent by $5 a month.
I'm going to keep this to the millage. Let's move on. Over the last year, voters have heard many conversations about the need for updates to the Mountain Home High School. Few can deny the Mountain Home High School is in need of adjustments for the safety of our students, although the plan of action has not been agreed upon. If the election is passed on May 9th, how long will we until we see a millage proposal on other schools that are in need of updating? Pinkston and Nelson Wilkes Herron have large sections of the original structures unused by a majority of the student body for various reasons, including safety. The Mountain Home Kindergarten is utilizing all space and has zero room for expansion. How long will it be before the other six schools, including Guy Berry, are in need of repair or expansion?
So the thing that is unique about this particular project is the Big Top is being utilized in ways in which it was never designed to utilize, which has made it become impossible to maintain. Those other buildings that you mentioned are still being utilized in the way in which they were designed, classroom, school structure. I think the board's going to have to be very intentional, and I heard the candidate forum earlier, and they all identify some of those needs within those other structures, and the board's going to have to be very intentional. Remind you that that's why the excess revenue off of this particular issue does go for maintenance and upkeep, because we have to be able to maintain our current structures, and it doesn't take long to move through millions of dollars to do that. Just a couple years ago, we put a new roof on the junior high. It was close to $2 million. And without having, you know, a building fund in which we were able to do that, how else would we be able to maintain them?
slush fund.
Mrs. Klinger, this question was sent for you. As someone who serves in education, would you say the current Mountain Home High School facility meets or exceeds the facility requirements and standards to promote educational success?
Read that again.
Yes, ma'am. As someone who serves in education, would you say the current Mountain Home High School facility meets or exceeds the facility requirements and standards to promote educational success?
I believe that they do promote educational success. Educational success isn't about the building and the facilities. It's about the teachers and the dedication of the volunteers. And in that regard, I do believe that Mountain Home has some premier teachers. I've worked with many of them, or I know many of them, through my daughter's educational journey through Mountain Home Schools. And it's the teachers that make the education.
After the recent and tragic shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville, the shooter indicated in the manifest found afterwards that she originally targeted a different school but felt it was too secure. What new security measures will be implemented under the new proposed plan for the Mountain Home High School if the millage is passed?
So this would definitely be electronic access. In addition to that, the window screenings, you know, there's a film that we are putting on, will be included on the new facility. But in addition, we're looking at how that can be incorporated to all of our current facilities. That particular situation clearly didn't have any kind of film on the windows because the glass was shot through, and then the individual climbed through him. And so while, you know, bulletproof glass is not something that has been incorporated into this, a film that resists the availability to shatter the glass and climb through has.
In a Mountain Home Observer article from January 24th, members of the opposition are quoted as saying the following: misinformation also occasionally flows from this group's members. During the Mountain Home special election to raise taxes to renovate major portions of the Mountain Home High School, a subset of the group spread false information against Mountain Home Superintendent Dr. Jake Long and the district's plans about its high school. Bob Chester, a school board candidate endorsed by the Patriots, changed his opinion after learning more about the high school's needs. He and the Patriots parted ways with each other. Beth Sandlin, one of the higher-profile members of leadership in the Patriots, said that misinformation was put out by some of its members and that the group was working to stop the practice. How can the community trust any information being put out by the opposition, including the current leader of the Republican Committee chairman and the Patriot group leader, when incorrect information has been purposely spread in the past?
That was a really long question.
I'm sorry.
So I can't speak to the Patriots or what Beth Sandlin or even this article. There's a lot in there that I can't tell who was saying what. All I can say is this. Republicans in general are the party of lower taxes. I can't speak for the committee directly. We haven't addressed it. We haven't passed a resolution. We have had both Lisa House, Mike Stockton, and Mark Housen speak at our meetings so that our members could get the best information. As a matter of fact, Mark spoke first, and members of the committee said, well, we want to hear what the school has to say, which was legitimate. And so I invited Lisa to come speak, and she did, and she brought Mike, and they spoke, and they gave their pitch as to why this was the appropriate plan for the school board. So I really think, again, this is a distraction. This is a distraction from the issue.
A distraction. I came to respond.
Let me finish. You came to respond. That's exactly right. We invited you in to do that.
False allegations.
So that the people could understand both sides.
I had no chance to explain our side. No, I did not get a chance.
You had 15 full minutes, most of which you yielded to Mike.
I had no chance to explain of Mark's 20 allegations, 13 of 20 were false.
You had 15 minutes and so did you. You had all the time.
No, and I was treated rotten by your group, but that's okay.
There's something that I need to address.
Quickly, please.
Okay. I'm not even sure what article you're referring to or all the dynamics involved in that because I'm not a member of any political party. I have no alliance with any political platform. I have come at this from a concerned citizen that is worried about what's going on with our school and in a search for transparency and trying to find truth for our community.
Mr. Chamberlain, do you trust our current school board members and administration have the best interests of our students and teachers?
I believe they do. I believe they do have the best interests. I think that they have crafted a plan that they think, or they believe, is the best plan. I understand that. I do. I just disagree that this is the best plan. So what has happened is those of us that disagree with the plan and say we can have a better plan, we can have a plan that benefits the taxpayers better than this one, we've been vilified. We've been vilified for asking legitimate questions, and I think that's wrong. We believe they're doing the best. We just disagree. We're having a disagreement, and it's regrettable that it's become sort of ugly and sort of nasty. Mm-hmm. We should be able to have this kind of disagreement in our community.
But you can't when you're being accused malicious.
Ms. House, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on, please. The opposition has made numerous FOI requests to collect information. I understand the importance of access to such information. But can the administration explain the extent of the request regarding paid administrative time and dollars spent on these requests? How many hours of labor, which are paid for with taxpayer dollars, have been spent to fulfill these requests?
You know, I can't put a figure on that. It is incredibly difficult to navigate the challenges of responding in a way that you're giving everything, you know, under the law. Much of which has to be, some of it has to be redacted, all has to be reviewed. And so, you know, but to answer your question, I can't put a number on it.
Could I please address that since I've sent?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
Most school districts, when they engage on a project of this type, will preemptively create a web page and post all the information available for the public so that it's easily accessible. If Mountain Home had done that, most of these FOI requests would not have been necessary.
Okay. Can I touch on that just quickly? I would say 50% of your FOIAs have nothing to do with this project. How much money that my company got through our school system has nothing to do with the project.
Has everything to do with the function
of
the school.
Excuse me. We're going
to.
Excuse me.
You're wrong.
Excuse me. Both
you're
of you,
wrong.
Please. Let's be professional. Mm-hmm. Mailers have been sent out encouraging voters to vote no against the millage. The mailers were deemed non-political by the post office, therefore not requiring a person or group to acknowledge they were responsible for the mailings. Do you know, as the concerned citizens here today, who is responsible for these mailings? Your organization has called for transparency on behalf of the school district. Would you call for whomever is funding these mailers to disclose who they are?
Yes, I know. I know nothing about that. Do not know who did that. And I am very interested in knowing who was behind those.
I would love to know. Because what it tells me, you know, we thought we were alone out here doing this. We thought we were alone against opposing this millage. And yet here's somebody else who is clearly organized, has the money, the time, and the organizational skills to put three mailers together. That's astonishing. So I would love to.
Only one of them had the name of who they were paid for. The first two did not. Is that correct?
I haven't seen that. I haven't received any of them. I live out in the county.
I've got all three that I've received, and there's no name on of who put them out, and we don't really.
I would love to know.
There's some interesting things with this, Heather. You know, you mentioned the Ozark Patriots earlier on their website. They talk about being a political action committee, yet they're not filed with the Secretary of State. They've not done the required Treasury reporting that's required. Well, because it's transparency. And we're kind of concerned.
Okay,
about
no, guys, we're losing. I am going to take control of this. Okay, I want us all to exhale, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked our school board candidates to close our first forum. Mr. Chamberlain, what is your wish for every student in the Mountain Home School District?
My wish is that every student in this school district gets the same quality of education I had when I grew up in rural North Louisiana. I'm not sure they're getting it. I want them to be proficient in the arts. I want them to be proficient in reading, writing, and mathematics. I want them to score well in standardized tests, and I want them to go on to be successful in their careers and in their lives. This is more about quality teachers than bricks and mortar. And I wish that would be addressed.
Will a teacher come to a school that you cannot plug in microscopes, you cannot teach your classroom, sewage coming up from the drain? Can a teacher do their job professionally and right without adequate lighting, without adequate classroom stuff? That's where you keep saying that the teachers, this is the teachers, it's the teachers. Do you want to live in a tent the rest of your life? Or do you want to live in a nice home with proper electric, water, and all the things you need to be a good teacher?
All that can be solved by replacing the big top. We do not need this $56 million boondoggle to fix those issues.
I don't agree, but that's okay.
Mrs. House, I'll let you answer. What is your wish for every student in the Mountain Home School District?
Our thing has been every student, every time, since I've been on the school board for almost 15 years now. I would like to see safety, number one. That is a big concern. Number two, I want our teachers to be safe. Number three, I want our taxpayers to get the fair amount of what they're paying for. We deserve in our community to have the best of everything. We have the best of everything so far. We have got to build this school. There's one way or the other. We have to do it. And the best thing is to get the proper education for our children. We have the college that they can go to right here in our backyard. They don't even have to leave.
And now time for closing statements. Mr. Chamberlain, I'll start with you.
So for me, this is really simple. We said no to this monstrosity last year. And instead of coming back with a modest proposal for a lesser amount, without all the bells and whistles, they came back with a proposal that delivers less. They didn't listen to the voters. The voters made it clear that it was too expensive, that it was a bad economically, that they were already overtaxed and didn't want all the fluff. But they came back with a nearly identical solution anyway. If that's not bad enough, they tell us that this is about economic development. Somehow, they think that a fancy new building that looks like a modern art museum will attract businesses and professionals to this area. I'm asking the taxpayers to reject this plan and force the school board to find a reasonable solution. Vote no, demand better.
Mr. Sockton, 1 minute.
Yes. So I've been asked why I do this. It's because of a kid named Tony. Tony was one of my students 20 years ago. He was a crack baby that had a 0.57 GPA when he came to my math class. Because of ROTC, he was able to expand his life, get on the dean's list the next year, and not become just another poor black child killed in the inner city of North Little Rock. I'm in this because we all need to come together. This politics of destruction that has gone on has been horrible. We're not a retirement or a family community. We're not even a community of haves and have-nots. It's nothing about anything like that. It's about building a robust community where we understand that education, economic development, and public safety all go hand in hand. It's not a matter of just for kids. It's an opportunity for people to lift themselves up out of poverty so that they have, and the three tools they need is they need a good education, they need a full-time job, and they need to put off married life till later. But it's about being responsible people who make it good for them in the future. And I just went long. Sorry, Heather.
Let us all exhale. I appreciate very much the time and effort that each of you put in today. As a reminder, early voting starts tomorrow and will run through May 8th. You can cast your ballot early at the Baxter County Courthouse from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Election day is Tuesday, May 9th, and you can view a list of polling locations at ktlo.com/electioncentral. Polls are open from 7:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. KTLO will be live at the courthouse on election night with the results. Many thanks to those participating in today's forum. And thank you to our local H&R Block offices for sponsoring today's community conversation. And most of all, thank you to all those in our community who submitted questions.